Some of you were here last week, and others have discovered this past week, Monday, I was conducting the funeral of my uncle, my dad's younger brother, who died New Year's Eve. And you know, occasions like these, as one grieves, one also thinks about memories. And I remember my father sharing memories of the two of them growing up, and my aunt, who's also deceased, in Barbados. And it got me to thinking about the things that I miss about my father, who's deceased, the things that I remember, and some early memories. And one was, that came to mind, I hadn't thought of for a long time, was my dad used to make kites. I remember in Barbados, he'd make kites, and we'd go out and fly kites together. I loved flying kites. And I remember one day, we said we're going to bring extra, we called it twine, extra string to let the kite out really, really far. And I said, Dad, let's get that up as close to the sky as possible, way, way up there. And I was just delighting in that time spent with Dad and my brother as we were flying the kite. And then I said, Dad, do you think God likes to fly kites? And he said, well, the things that we find pleasurable and joyous, God has created that opportunity in us and that feeling. So God perhaps doesn't fly kites, but I'm sure he would enjoy it if he were here flying kites with us. I would like God to have one of these kites, Dad. Do you think God could come out of heaven and take this kite up? It's my first memory, earliest memory of pondering how God gets to us. In that case, it was to come and take a kite. But our reading today is a very significant and powerful one, even in the language that Mark uses. Most of the readings we usually read, we hear in the heavens opened and so forth, but Mark uses a stronger word than that, schizo. And we already know as we hear that, some remembrances of what that word might be. The word is literally to tear apart. Jesus goes out with all of the people to John's baptism. And we're told that as he goes down under the water and comes up, he looks up and the heavens are torn apart, ripped open. And he hears a voice that affirms him. Now, the thing that we have to remember about Scripture and its symbols, when you hear that term ripped open, it is meant to occasion a memory of other such items and references. Sometimes we like to take scriptural references like one note at a time. But when we hear ripped open, it is a chord that reminds us of other times that God has ripped open, or that people have screamed for God to rip open and come. The prophet Isaiah said, oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. But the coming down was not only to be present to the people, but to subdue and make the enemies pay in that prophetic literature. Here, Jesus hears the voice of God, and God rips and comes down not to subdue and not to punish, but to affirm, to save, to transform, to rescue. Jesus is renamed or reconfirmed in his identity. We call Jesus Jesus, which is the Greek version of his name, but that Emmanuel, and when the stories we have just heard in Christmas, the angels come to Mary and said, call his name Emmanuel, you shall call his name Jesus. In Hebrew, call his name Yeshua. So Jesus was growing up. Mary wasn't saying, Jesus, come in. It's supper time. Yeshua, Joshua, which means literally, he will save his people, or God saves. In the tearing open of the heavens, God comes and affirms that mission and that identity as the one whom God will come and save. No longer will anything prevent the invasion of God into our lives and the life of the world. So it's important for us to reflect on this. The reason being that sometimes we have domesticated the significance of baptism. And we're meant to remember all the significance of water in our spiritual story.
Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. The Jordan's cold and chilly. Wade in the water. It chills the body, but not the soul. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
What does that mean? What does it mean for God to trouble the water? Here at Jesus' baptism, there was a troubling of the water and an affirmation that was made. What are some of the other times that God has troubled the water? Remember the chord, not a single note. What does this remind you of? Do you remember our reading at the very beginning that Jeanette reminded us of? In beginning, creating God. In the beginning was God, heaven and earth. God created the heaven and earth. And there's an interesting thing about that opening chapter of Genesis that is meant to remind us that this is not literal reporting science, that this is metaphor, strong poetic language, and an affirmation, a theological affirmation. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. But wait a minute. The sun and the moon had not yet been created. So what is this light? What is this light? This is not the natural light that God has provided to guide the morning and the day. This is a light that comes from God. A light where the Spirit broods over the water and brings order out of chaos. God troubles the water with a light that is holy and pure and meant to illumine our hearts and the world. It is a light that comes from God. Troubling the water is the bringing of a light from God. Do you remember when the people of Israel made their way, their escape as it were, and deliverance from Egypt? There was another troubling of the water. What did God do? What do we testify that God does through Moses? Troubles the water so that the people may go through. Troubling the water is not only about light, it is about rescue. It is about making a way where there seems to be no way at all. And that's not all. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that as those who walk through the water, when we walk through the disturbing waters, the troublesome waters, they shall not overshadow us. We shall neither be burned or consumed, nor shall we drown in the waters of our worry and the strife and our financial crisis and the meltdown. We shall not drown in all of that because God is troubling the water. Another way that God troubles the water through Jesus and his experience is in John chapter 5, when the man, years and years crippled, trying to get into the pool at Bethesda, is not able to. When there's the troubling of the water, the people who go in experience healing. God troubles the water and brings healing. But through that context, Jesus looks on the man, tells him, take up his pallet and walk, and he heals him. Anybody remember what was significant about that healing? What was the controversy about that healing in the context of the troubling of the water? Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. And he got in heck for it from religious authorities. God troubles the water of defiance. God challenges us, even staid and traditional congregations and rituals that are thousands of years old, challenges them to be life-giving and not frozen in time, troubles the water and says, put away those things that frustrate and rigidize people, make people rigid. Troubling the water is about recognizing that the power of God's healing and grace and love is stronger than rules we set up to separate secular from sacred. God's troubling the water for years and centuries. God is continuing to trouble the water now. Baptism is a recognition when we honor Jesus. It's a recognition that Jesus comes to bless humanity, comes to take us in all of our ordinariness. It should not be lost on us the detail that Jesus comes with all the people confessing their sins. What are they confessing? Things that they have done wrong, ways they have injured others, strife that they have caused, blasphemy against God, injustice, whatever, the whole gamut of sins they're confessing. Jesus comes in the midst of them and joins in the baptism. Not because he has come to confess sins, but to say that right smack dab in the middle of all the things that challenge us, there is God present. Because the heavens have been torn apart and no longer will there be any separation from whatever we encounter, whatever seeks to bind us, present, resident, intimately associated with us in the midst of what we're going through, Jesus is going through too. This is the time of year when many people are challenged. Challenged by a number of things. It's not only the post-Christmas blues, seasonal affective disorder, depression, recognizing the news of the job loss, 34,000 jobs lost in Canada, over 100,000 in the United States in the last month, the bus strike, the hardship. People are feeling down, not feeling like they want to celebrate. The things like you and I are exercised in our soul and our heart as we cry out for there to be a peace, a peaceful and a just resolution of this Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Don't you want to join the prophet and cry that God would come down and tear the heavens and bring peace? And find a way to solve this bus strike. Find a way to negotiate and navigate ourselves out of this financial crisis. Find a way. Don't you want to call out? And yet somehow I want to say to you that I believe that the troubling of the water and the tearing of the heavens has something to do with us as baptized people. That our imaginations and our resolve and our prayer life and our activism and our witness should be about the urgent need of calling together and celebrating that which is mending rather than dividing. So I celebrate, for instance, the fact that Israeli and Jew and Palestinian together could come on Parliament Hill yesterday and bear witness to a resolution that is enduring and peaceful. That people who others would say should be apart find a way to come together. That this occasion in the financial meltdown will be a sober opportunity for each of us and all of us to recognize how is it that we are prioritizing our purpose and values and our spending and our giving and our lives. How are we complicit with greed and excess ourselves? Not just point the finger at Madoff and the masters of the universe on Wall Street and others. How are we implicated and involved? What lessons do we have to learn? God's troubling the water of our hearts and our minds and asking us to look hard. How do we in our neighborhoods, do we know our neighbors? Do we know the hardship of the people that we spend time with over and over? Notice what happens when the heavens are torn apart. This is my son. Jesus is named or renamed or reconfirmed in that identity. in much of our world, even much of the neighborhoods in which we live, anonymity is a shameful act of unnaming. That we do not know the people with whom we live, know them well enough to know if they're in pain or if they're hurting or if there's some way that we can reach out to help. This text and this example of Jesus and God's naming tells us that our names matter. We're not just numbers or addresses. We are beloved of God, each and every one of us. Tearing the heavens, troubling the water, is about finding ways to make peace, to live neighborly, to examine our lives, to draw closer to God, to make our priorities those things that indeed will enable God's dream to come into fruition. See, baptism really matters if we take it seriously. It means God has drawn near, has given you and me an identity as a follower of Christ, as a mender of the world, as a bringer of justice, as a caring, loving presence in the life of people. As truthful and yet sinful folks who are willing to confess, like the people who went to John's baptism. That's what it means. Purification, initiation, reconfirming our identity. Aren't you glad or are you afraid? It's okay to be both, that God has torn the heavens. You can't hide anymore. Even in church, you can't hide. Some people say church is the best place to try to hide from God. Can't hide. God's going to invade your life. Notice something. Jesus loved, and in his life, he went where other people would not go. He went and spent time with people and affirmed them in their lives when no one else, no structure, no religious system would do it at the time. Jesus did it. And he got in trouble for it over and over again. And yet those he loved fiercely, like you and I and his disciples, whom he loved fiercely, every single one of them abandoned him. Everyone. God tore the heavens, affirmed Jesus, sent him on a mission, that mission of love and mending and peace and forgiveness and grace and healing. And people looked at that and loved it and still abandoned him. And what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He did then what he does now to you and me. He took them back. One by one, he took them back. He went to Peter, who had denied him. He took them back. So there's nothing, you see, because of torn heavens and troubled water, there's nothing that's going to separate you or I from God. Nothing. Nothing. Not even our rebellion and defiance. Not even our sin. It's not going to separate it. So you may as well stop running. Stop running. Jesus took them back and takes us back and says, remember who you are. Martin Luther, the great reformer, who himself suffered from depression. And when he was in safekeeping in that castle, so-called safekeeping imprisonment, and it was going crazy, he scrawled into his desk over and over, I am baptized. I am baptized. I am baptized. Remembering his identity. Remembering his identity and that God's grace would come upon him. Teresa of Avila, medieval theologian and mystic. A wonderful story is told of her. I like this. I feel a little bit mischievous telling it, but I like it. Story told of a Teresa was out sitting in the outhouse doing what she needed to do. And she was reading a pious book on prayer and eating an apple. And the story goes that the tempter, the devil, comes to her and tells her, what you are doing is a terrible sacrilege. And Teresa responds to the devil, to the tempter, these prayers I am reading are for God. This apple I am eating is for me. And the rest is for you. ordinariness and holiness come together, all of our lives are meant to be venues where God is present. All of our sins are opportunities for us to recognize where we have strayed, to confess, and to be brought back again. For Jesus will take us back. Torn heavens and troubled waters is good news and bad news at the same time. All that separates us from each other is meant to be put away. All that separates us from the true nobility of our souls and the deep passions of our heart to love and to care and to show compassion is stripped away. So it's bad news, but it is good news, because the result of that is that we will be formed into a community who are charged and sent to mend and bless the world and to honor God. Pray hard and work hard for the healing of the division between Israeli and Palestinian, for the crisis that has affected so many people who are out of work, for the end of this bus strike, for the pain that many people are enduring now in these cold, dark days of January. Be vigilant. Be open to receive help and ready to give, to pray, to serve, to give. Why? Why is this possible? Because of torn heavens and troubled waters. Amen.